My brothers and sisters, for the last two Sundays now, Luke's gospel has been focused on two parables of Jesus that describe a coming reversal of all things. A reversal that is brought to light by the coming of the kingdom of God. Now, in today's parable, the primary reversal that the coming of God's kingdom reveals are the fortunes and the misfortunes of both the rich and the poor alike. Now, let's keep in mind, first of all, that a parable is an analogy, and it's meant to reveal a hidden or a partially hidden truth or a meaning that we can relate to in our own lives. Parables are not meant to be taken literally, but rather as a kind of a metaphor. Remember, Jesus never said, "The kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God is this or is that." But he always used metaphors. The kingdom of God is like a seed. Or the kingdom of God is like a garden. Or the kingdom of God is like a fishing net. And so on. And so Jesus' parable today is not about poor people going to heaven and wealthy people going to hell. That's a pretty narrow view, actually. But rather, Jesus is breaking open and revealing a much deeper message about the inevitable consequences that we bring about by our attitude toward and by what we do with the wealth that we have been given. You see, the rich man in our parable isn't represented as being dishonest or evil. He's not being mean or hateful towards Lazarus. So then, why does he end up buried in the netherworld and in torment? Doesn't seem fair, does it? Well, sisters and brothers, rather than trying to explain all of this, I believe the following story, true story actually, brings the deeper meaning of today's gospel into crystal clarity. I love stories about something that is present today, something that's happening right now, someone who is actually living the gospel today. The name given to the story is Giving While You're Living. You may have heard of it. Would you give all your money away? If so, where? This is the extraordinary story of Chuck Feeney, who finally achieves his 34-year mission of going from $8 billion to broke this year. 2016 is the year his foundation gives the last of his money away. Isn't that amazing? In the process, he has become the hero, believe it or not, of Bill Gates and Warren Buffett, who said, "Chuck has set an example not only for people of my age, but also for younger generations. He will be an example 100 years from now or 200 years from now. He is my hero. He is Bill Gates's hero. He should be everybody's hero." Now here's Chuck's three steps to making and giving away $8 billion. Number one, start by deciding to give it away before you make it. Chuck was born into a poor Irish family during the Great Depression in 1931. He shoveled snow and sold Christmas cards door to door as a kid to make money to take home. While young and in poverty, he read Andrew Carnegie's classic essay, The Gospel of Wealth. Andrew Carnegie's essay was a revolutionary call for those who create wealth to live modestly and to give all their excess wealth to support others while still alive, giving while living. Now, the words touched him so deeply that Chuck decided at that very moment that he would dedicate his life to create wealth to give away, saying, "I want the last check I write to bounce." How about that? Number two, then travel the world. As a teenager, Chuck joined the U.S. Air Force during the Korean War. He got to see firsthand the different servicemen had the difficulty servicemen had in getting the products that they wanted from home. So he set up a business to import and sell them the goods that they wanted. He found a way to sell them without duty, or without taxes, actually. By setting up a store on the air side of airports, and his company, Duty-Free Shoppers, took off. Ever bought anything from DFS shops at an airport? That's Chuck's company. But from the early days, Chuck had already set up his company so that all the proceeds went into his foundation, the Atlantic Philanthropies. So the money the company made could be given away each year. The money has gone into causes around the world in health, education, and human rights. When Chuck sold DFS in 1996, his foundation took all the money from the sale and committed to spend everything within 20 years by 2016. By the time it gives the last of his money away, it will have given away $8 billion. Pretty amazing. Number three. Chuck it all away. Nice play on words. What about Chuck? Surely he has kept enough aside to live in luxury. Well, today, at 85 years old, Chuck does not own a home or a car. He still famously wears a watch he bought for $15. He carries his papers in a plastic bag. Chuck says, "I always tried to live my life as though nothing changed. People would say, you could have a Rolls Royce. I'd say to that, what do I want with a Rolls Royce when I can have a bike?" Instead of measuring his success by his level of money in the bank, he measures it by his level of happiness. Now there's a switch. "People used to ask me how I got my jollies, and I guess I'm happy when what I'm doing is helping people, and I'm unhappy when what I'm doing isn't helping people." 2016 marks the end of Chuck's giving, but just the beginning of his legacy. His story inspired Bill Gates to also give all his money away and to launch the Giving Pledge, which now has, believe it or not, 142 of the world's billionaires pledging to give the majority of their wealth away while alive, including Richard Branson, Mark Zuckerberg, Elon Musk, Tim Cook, Warren Buffett, and many more. Bill Gates credits Chuck for the new age of giving, saying, "Chuck Feeney is a remarkable role model and the ultimate example of giving while living." That's pretty amazing, isn't it? Happening today, right here, in our midst. My sisters and brothers, God's plan for you and me, believe it or not, is for us to be wealthy beyond our wildest imaginations. Did you know that? But God's idea of wealth and ours is not all the same. True, lasting wealth is our relationship with God and with one another. A close and intimate, loving and caring bond that reflects the very relationship within the Trinity itself. God, who creates us in their own image and likeness, to be truly alive, growing in relationship, a treasure that will never end. But when we spend our lives selfishly gathering our idea of treasures and keep it for our own selves, or even for our own immediate families, which is actually an extension of ourselves, really, then we, like the rich man in our parable today, become possessed by that very same wealth. Instead of possessing it, we become possessed by it. And that wealth, then, gradually becomes the only thing that we can relate to. Remember, the rich man in our parable had no relationship with Lazarus whatsoever. He never once even spoke to him. Lazarus is nothing more to him than an object, a nuisance to be ignored. And even in death, Lazarus is still just an object. An object to be used for his own comfort or to help his immediate family, his five brothers. And that objectifying of another person is what establishes the great chasm that prevents a crossing over from either side. Without relationship, we end up outside, alone, buried in the netherworld and in torment. Contrast that, however, with Chuck Feeney, the man whose treasure lies obviously in the building of caring relationships with whoever he sees as being in need of help. My brothers and sisters, God's plan for you and for me is for us to be wealthy beyond our wildest imaginations. True, lasting wealth is our relationship with God and with one another. A close and intimate, loving and caring bond that reflects the very relationship within the Trinity itself. God, who created us in their own image and likeness, to be truly alive, growing in relationship, a treasure that will never end.